This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasodhi. At the end of January and at the top of February this year, Rumbundahan brought us something called Dancing in Place. And this weekend, it's opening an exhibition titled Bricolage, a curated show of artworks by five artists from Southeast Asia and the Asia Pacific. All five are currently in their residency. The collected works come from diverse genres, media, and they offer a variety of perspectives. With me are Bilkis Hijaz, who, with her mother, is one of the constant faces of Rumbundahan. We've not had Angela on for quite a while. And the site's new art manager, Shah S. Alia. She recently joined the organization. Welcome to the show, ladies. How are you today?
Very well. Thank you.
Shah, what's it been like joining Rumbundahan, and how long has it been?
I started in early January, and it's been really exciting.
What's your background like?
I'm a freelance writer, or previously I was and still am. So my background is really in creative writing and editing, and also performance art. So this is my first time really engaging with visual arts in this way. So it's really exciting.
It's very different, isn't it?
Almost a little. It would be not that different because I used to do stage management, and managing actors is almost similar as managing artists. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yes. We will take this conversation off.
Yes, I think so. That's
She's
as much
doing
as I can
very
say.
Well, though. We're really, really happy to have her. She likes systems, and what we really need at Rumbundahan is systems.
Structure.
Yeah, that's how I got in.
Introduced all kinds of exciting efficiencies.
Lots of filing.
Ooh, yeah, we love the filing.
People in the arts often lack that structure. They need the structure.
Right? Yeah. You
know, they're great with ideas and stuff, but implementation on a proper, organized manner is always lacking.
Yeah. Always a bit challenging.
Bilkis, can you just, the last time I actually attended an exhibition because of a residency which, was completed, I was told, or maybe I misunderstood, that Rumbundahan was ending its visual art residency, but it didn't actually.
It didn't actually.
What really
yes.
happened?
This is a very widely spread misconception about Rumbundahan. I think everyone was very upset to hear that we were ending the residency. We weren't ending the residency altogether. We were ending the 12-month residency that my parents have been running for 20 years, which we would have one Australian artist, one Malaysian artist at Rumbundahan for 12 months. And then at the end of their 12 months, they'd have an exhibition. So that program no longer exists. So instead of that, we expanded a program that also existed before that was a bit smaller, which was the shorter residencies of between 1 month and 3 months, for ideally for Southeast Asian artists, but also for some Australians as well.
And this is one of the culmination of one of the residency?
Yes. So we have many, many more artists now because since they're staying for shorter times, we can accommodate more people, which is one of the great advantages of having shorter residencies.
But is 1 to 3 months, is that sufficient time to actually, come up with ideas and,
It's technically 1 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the average is 3 months. And so it's really interesting with this show because some artists have been around for 9 to 6 months and they've created quite a solid body of work, while one of the artists has actually really only been here a month and a half, but she's still exhibiting something. So I think it's interesting to see what they can come up with in that amount of time and how they engage with Rumbundahan and the surroundings. Okay. So it displays all that kind of variation.
Hence the reason why you have about, 5-6 artists who are going to be exhibiting?
Five artists.
And very diverse backgrounds.
Yes.
Pretty much Southeast Asian, but with the exception of one Australian. Mm-hmm. How did you decide, or is this going to be a trend going forward, as in it's going to be pretty much Southeast Asian artists with maybe one thrown from some other part of the world or the region?
I think my parents are very interested in supporting Southeast Asian artists because they have fewer opportunities than other artists coming from more industrialized countries. We do offer residencies for artists from industrialized countries, and actually our plan now is to allow those artists who can afford to pay for residencies to subsidize the residencies of Southeast Asian artists. So European artists, for example, are invited to come and pay for the opportunity to be part of this arts community. And then that helps run Rumbundahan and enables us to provide free residencies for the Southeast Asians.
And many of these artists are below the age of 35. Is there a reason for that?
I think it's just with Angela and Hijaz, they really want to focus on, and they always have been focusing on for the past 20 years, on bringing up younger artists and emerging artists to give them the opportunity that they wouldn't normally have straight out of university or art school, to kind of give them the space to explore their practice, which they might not have, whereas older established artists maybe have more opportunities given to them. So we've always tried to focus more on younger artists. Yeah.
Is this part of just giving back to society that your parents practice Bilkis rather than, I mean, I can't see how you can make any money
from
this.
We don't make any money from it, no. They will be selling some of their artworks at the exhibition, and so people are welcome to come and see the works, and if they're interested, they can buy the works. And then that money goes straight to the artist, so we don't take a cut of the price because we're not a commercial gallery, so we don't really function that way. It is really about providing an opportunity for the arts community. I think my parents have felt the responsibility very strongly that they both benefited a great deal from opportunities given to them by Malaysia and by Australia, and this is one way that they can repay these benefits.
How is the length of the residency determined? Because you mentioned artists have stayed there from 1.5 months to 6 months to 9 months. I mean, yeah. How do you decide that?
It varies. So the artist that stayed at Rimbun for 9 months, she's Malaysian. So it's quite easy for her to just use our space. At the beginning, it was only her and our Australian artist. So it was sort of to keep each other company, to keep that community going so that they can talk to each other. With the other artists now, the one from Vietnam and Thailand, you know, they asked for 3 months and we were able to give that to them, but also it's kind of up to just how long they're able to stay for. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. they have in terms of how long they're able to stay as residents of Vietnam or Thailand and Malaysia.
It's a huge problem with immigration, and this is a real struggle that we're having at the moment, that immigration doesn't have a pigeonhole to put resident artists in, really.
They can't make the difference between an artist and a domestic helper?
Yes, for example. So if you have someone coming in from Vietnam or someone coming in from the Philippines, they immediately think that, you know, they're coming here so that they can be illegal workers, when really they're coming here to stay in our home and then to work very seriously on their professional arts practice and then take their art and go home with it. So we have found it very challenging to get visas for Southeast Asian artists longer than a month.
Yeah.
Often they only get a month, then they have to go out. When they come back in again, they're given the third degree. They're given, in this most recent case, only 2 weeks. Whereas the European artists waltz in, get 3 months, happily stay for 3 months, yeah. go out, come back another 3 months, you know, And it's highly unfair, and I think especially in an environment where we're supposed to be fostering good relations with this region, and this year Malaysia is the chairman of the ASEAN mm-hmm. coalition, and yet we are treating them as, you know, the lowest of the low when they come to us for an arts residency in a very established space. But they're just not very interested in that.
Of course. The arts has never been a priority.
It has never been a priority. It's very sad.
I understand for this year it's taken a...
And added back.
Added back. Exactly.
It's at the back of the bus now. Cannot go any further.
It's already at the back and it's now, you know, further behind. Yeah. And when these artists get together, I mean, and they're all probably in the last couple of months would have been together working at Rimbun Dahan. Do they exchange ideas or do they pretty much work in their silos? Do they interact with the local communities? I mean, how do they get inspired?
I think they definitely don't work in silos. They're all, quite a lot of them are friends, and we also have weekly drinks. So to come together, talk about the progress for the week, what everyone's working on, the grounds are pretty big, but everyone's more than happy to walk and visit each other in their studios, have dinner together. And they're, especially our Thai artist, the minute she came was very, very interested in engaging with the local community and everyone around. So I think it really depends on the mixture of people that we have. Like we have we have applications this year for people who are like, we've got a Sarawakian writer who says she needs 2 weeks of complete silence to finish her manuscript because she can't work in her longhouse because everyone keeps knocking on her door because a sign of silence is not great in a community like that. So she has been very particular about what she wants and what she's coming to Rimbun for, and we try to provide that for her because we have the space and we have that kind of silence and peaceful nature.
Amid the like squawking chickens and barking dogs. How silent it's going to be.
It's a very layered silence.
Textured
silence of animals, not so much bothering relatives. But this group have been very active in engaging with each other and talking with each other and socializing. So I think that's going to reflect in the work that they do.
And I think Shah's also been very instrumental in achieving this sense of community. And it's important to have someone who is really dedicated to increasing the connections between the artists, because they may not go out and search each other out. Because artists can be quite solitary.
They are.
They're very focused on their own work. But Shah's been taking them into town in groups
to see studio trips,
exhibitions, and other things.
How do you learn to connect with them? Sure.
I'm
still trying to learn how to do that.
How to connect with artists.
Talk to the artists. I think I've had quite a fair bit of experience talking to a lot of different types of artists, different types of people who consider themselves creative. I'm very interested in process. So if nothing else, I always just ask what they're working on, how they work on it, why, those kind of questions. So I'm always just very intrigued and try to be as curious as possible. And also try not to be imposing with, some people don't want to talk about their process. So, I have to do a lot of airport pickups and drop offs. So that's a lot of 1 hour rides.
Long silences are possible.
So I guess it's just trying to see who they are as a person, where they're coming from, and why they're here in Rimbun Dahan. So, trying to.
I like the way Shah said to those of them who consider themselves artists. How do you decide, Bilkis, before you actually get these people on board? How do you decide who's an artist and who really isn't?
Well, in this case, our job is made a little bit easier because my parents quite early on established a criteria that the only visual artists they were going to accept applications from are those with a professional practice and professional training, in the sense that they went to school, went to university, and did visual arts at university. And this has only very occasionally not been the case with our artists, so that we don't get the kind of people who, I mean, it's perfectly relevant to be a person who's like, oh, I've been working in, advertising for 20 years, but I've always wanted to be a painter and I want to take 6 months off and paint and I really think I have it in me. Well, we're not providing that kind of opportunity. We're providing opportunities for people who already have a professional established practice, or they have gone to art school and they're about to embark on their professional practice.
And how does a residency make a difference?
Provides them with space. It's a time when they don't have to worry about doing other things, because especially if they're coming from overseas, they leave all the other distractions behind. So that can be very, very beneficial. Also provides them with space to make work. So in some places where, for example, they would have to rent their own studio, or they're working in studios out of their own homes, they can't make very big work. And we've found that a lot of the time, painters especially who come to Rimbun Dahan, and sculptors, make the biggest work they've ever made in their entire lives just because they have space in the studio to do that. Huge canvases, etc.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
How important the space really is. Mm. And is it just the quiet time or having your own space, or has it got to do with the environment that they're able to come up with such pieces? What is it? Or is it a combination?
It's a combination, for sure. Yeah. I think also we've got a sculptor and she comes from her own studio.
So, and she's Malaysian.
She's Malaysian. Yeah, she's from Sarawak. And so I think for her it's space and also just kind of mental space for her to just focus on making these specific works over 9 months. And
This is Anikatini Madian.
Yes.
She's made these incredible, huge works.
Very detailed.
Very detailed.
She's got one that's about 16 feet long, and and all her works are huge. So it's going to be really interesting to see that in our gallery space. But with someone like Jennifer Tyers, our Australian artist, she uses the space in a different way. She works on smaller watercolor works, but she literally goes out in, and she works on plein air landscapes. So she likes being out in the actual landscape, drawing it and interacting with it directly. So the only things kind of hindering her are weather and daylight hours. So they all engage in space in very different ways. Tran Dan, our Vietnamese artist, he has been using stone and soil-based lacquers. So he's been using materials from around our grounds to make the paint, quote-unquote paint/lacquer that he uses on his canvas. Mm-hmm. So they're all engaging with our space, our grounds, very differently.
Okay. You've seen the works.
Yes, I've seen some of them.
I've seen the works.
What comes through?
I'd say for me, like the first thought in my mind was color, because I'm thinking immediately of Jen's watercolors, which are very colorful, and they capture the landscape in a very specific way. I think color and texture probably. So even the flat works that are on landscape, on canvas are very very textured in a lot of different ways. Lots of layers, So I've seen them work on these canvases and these works for a very long time, and you see the subtle shifts of them from day one till now. So yeah, I would say texture and color.
Okay. And this is happening from 15th of March, which is this coming Sunday, all the way to March the 22nd, only for 8 days.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll be open during the week by appointment.
By appointment and 10 to 6
on weekends. And also my mother's doing a garden tour of the gardens on Sunday,
the 22nd at 9 a.m.
Yeah, okay, so cool. That's free. So that's always a nice thing to do, is to bring people to come for the garden walk and then see the exhibition and then have lunch.
She organizes the garden walk every now and again, doesn't
usually
she?
Usually when we have an exhibition, there'll be a garden walk to go along with.
Very
it.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, if you haven't been to Rimbundahan, you really should at some stage. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Even if you don't want to see the artwork.
Yes, even if you're not interested in the artwork.
Which you ask
There's
me,
a lot of other things
there
to see.
Are a lot it of is. Yes. It's, you know, I think it will be just, I mean, take a look. I mean, even if you're not into art, just, you know,
it's
stop
a fun
by.
Day out.
Have a look. And beautiful grounds, I have to say. Coming up, I want to find out whether or not an exhibition is inevitable as the outcome of residencies. Up next, if you have a question for the ladies, send it through. It's 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasodhi. We have Bilkis Hijaz, one of the faces of Rimbundahan, sort of like representing your parents here, aren't you, Mira?
Yes.
You're very much into dance, and to see you sitting here talking about visual art is
That's
is
why
really...
I'm letting Shah talk about the artists.
Where is Angela when we need her, you know? And Shah S. Alia, who's an arts manager from Rimbundahan. They've got an exhibition coming up titled Bricolage. It's the culmination of an art residency of 5 different artists from around the region, a Malaysian being one of them. And this exhibition is running from Sunday, the 15th of March, all the way till March the 22nd. Bricolage, what does that even mean?
Okay, it comes from a French word, and it was actually suggested by our one poet out of our 5 artists, Kairani Baroka from Indonesia. And it basically means the artistic or literary creation from a diverse range of available things. So we thought this was, when she suggested it, we thought it was the best word that represented what we were trying to do, this kind of mix of not just diverse genres of art, but also diverse points of view from each artist, to show not just their singular experiences living and working at Rimbundahan, but their combined efforts of working alongside one another in a similar shared space.
Kairani Baroka sort of caught my eye because she is a poet writer, and this is the first time she's taken 10 poems from oil and enamel on linen.
Yes.
What I mean, can you describe her work?
I'm lucky enough to have that she shared her work with me. I've read her poems. So she's using this opportunity, this exhibition, to kind of play with the idea, as somebody not within the visual arts world, to play with the idea of exhibiting work. So this is the first time she's experimenting with presenting her poems as paintings. So her poems, Oil and Enamel on Linen, which is the 10 poems coming from her her book that she's been working on and completed in Rimbundahan, in her time at Rimbundahan, are engaging directly with the art world. So some of her poems engage with the works of the other exhibiting artists. They also take inspiration from things she's read from our library. Oil and Enamel, I think the title is actually from a description of a work by Wong Peng Fei, which is one of our former resident artists. So she's trying to engage with the idea of exhibiting and presenting. And as the singular writer in the entire group, I think it's very exciting for her to experiment with that.
Do you think, Bilkis, one day you would translate dance to visual art?
To visual art? Mm. No, I will leave that to...
I think there are...
It might just happen one day.
It might just happen
organically,
naturally.
You know, you never know.
I mean, I think there are exciting connections that can happen between the art forms. Mm. And we certainly would never say no to that. And I think one of the nice things, for example, about dancing in place is it's nice to have the dancers come in and see visual artworks, because must say, otherwise there's not a hell of a lot of connection between dancers and painters.
You'll be surprised.
Yeah, so it's nice to see them kind of cross-fertilize each other.
Yeah. We have a question here. I've never gotten myself to understand what is the meaning of contemporary dance and art. It's always hard to understand. Hope you can shed some light. You know what? I'm on the same page with this, whoever it is, because I'm still trying to get my...
That's okay. I get this all the time. Yeah. And I think the one thing I would like to say to people is that they shouldn't try and understand. They shouldn't put themselves in a position of pressure where they feel like they have to understand. Just try and enjoy it from whatever perspective you have. When you're listening, for example, to a piece of classical music, you don't think to yourself, am I understanding this? Oh my goodness, did I just understand that thing that just happened? You just listen to it, and it's got a melody, and you follow the melody, or it doesn't, and it has highs and lows, and sometimes it's dramatic, and sometimes it's boring, and you just let it wash over you. And I think it's important to allow other art forms as well, to allow yourself to interact with them in a very natural way. If you look at something and you just think, oh, well, it doesn't speak to me at all, well, then it doesn't, and that's fine. And you may look at something, and you may have an incredibly emotional reaction to it that you can't even explain, and that's fine. But you don't have to feel like there's one particular way you're supposed to consume art.
I've concluded, and in my own words, right, after 5 years of trying to get my head around this, it's whatever you want it to be.
Yeah.
Mm. It's whatever you want it to be. There is no hard and fast rule as to what it really is.
I mean sometimes the artist can intend something, but he can't force you to get that interpretation out of it. And I don't think... A good artist does want you to have one single, what I want you to take away,
I mean, I came out of one dance, I remember, and completely didn't know what happened. And
it's okay,
next to me outside was this lady going on about how wonderful and beautiful it was, and I was like, I totally missed something.
You don't have to. And I think you can look at, for dance, for example, in many different ways. You can just go in and look, oh my God, they've got sexy bodies. It's great.
There's nothing wrong with an aesthetic judgment.
Yeah, it's totally legitimate. It doesn't matter. You can look at it on many levels.
Yeah. Okay. So we spoke about Karani Baroka. What about the other artists? Tran Dan, did you say?
Yeah,
Tran Painter and sculptor from Vietnam.
Yes. So he's got a background in architecture. And I think he's very interested in looking at the painting itself and the canvas itself as a sculpture. So he works a lot in layers. He's been working on these two canvases that he will be presenting at the exhibition for, I'd say, about 2-3 months now. Just these two canvases where he just kind of does layer by layer. He'll polish some back. He'll put another layer on. His scenes are kind of nature-based and almost dreamlike. He's very interested in existentialism. Again, as Bilke said, you can either see that in the painting or not.
You don't need to know that when you look at it.
Yeah, you don't need to know that. You can just look at the colors, because his process is very interesting of like taking materials from the natural world and putting it in the painting itself. So it's interesting to see painting as sculpture in that sense, just as it would be interesting to see Oka's work as poetry, as painting.
Right. And from Thailand, Yuati Jeko?
Yuati Jeko, yes. We call her Yo. Her canvases are very interesting to me because she paints some really everyday objects. She's got one that she's going to be showing called Mr. and Mrs. Nanas, which is a very cute name. And you could think that has a hidden meaning,
But it's a pineapple.
It's a pineapple.
Oh, thank you. I was going to ask. Okay.
It's a pineapple. A very well-drawn pineapple. Okay. So she draws. Her work has covered things like everyday objects like clouds, wrapped candy, things that you would find in normal places. But her objective and vision is to use the canvas itself as a paint palette to play around with colors and to project onto the background of a mundane object something that she sees that nobody else maybe would see. Mm-hmm. So she plays around a lot with colors. So her work and Jen's share that in common in that way where they're very colorful and very vivid.
Okay, and Jennifer Tyers is from Australia and
Anikatini
Madian is a Malaysian-born sculptor from Sarawak. So you want to go and catch some of their work. Does it always mean that a residency will culminate with an exhibition? Does it have to be that way?
Not necessarily. And we certainly have a lot of resident artists whose work we don't exhibit. And I think it's also important not to put so much pressure on artists to create with an exhibition in mind at the end, because sometimes that can kind of be putting the cart before the horse. You don't know what you are going to create until you create it. So if you already know that you have an exhibition that you have to fill, for example, a certain amount of wall space, then you already know what direction you're going in, and that's perhaps not the most interesting opportunity that you can allow yourself to have as an artist. So a lot of the residencies we have, we don't explicitly say you have to produce this much wall space, you have to produce something. You don't actually have to produce anything. You can come and sit by the pool the entire time if you really wanted to. But the interesting thing is that we've had hundreds of artists come and nobody has ever done that. Everybody, you spend a couple of days settling in. You know, some people spend quite a long time settling in, and it can be quite an alien atmosphere. It can take you a while to settle in. But in the end, everybody becomes incredibly productive, and it's really actually quite awesome to see.
Yeah, but never with an exhibition in mind, just for the sake of being productive and
because
for the sake of making
their
the
practice
work.
And that's what they want to make without being forced to make it.
Is it an accident that only one of the artists is male?
I think it is, actually. Yes. It is an accident. we accept things based on the strength of their application and the time and availability of accommodation that we have. So if we happen to have four female artists coming in and then suddenly we've got one male one and that's the space that we have,
I mean, we didn't really design this exhibition knowing the artists and being like, oh, their work's going to work really well together. No, they just all showed up at the same moment and we thought, well, let's put it all together. It works out beautifully, actually.
Well, the person who actually asked you how to understand contemporary and dance, he says, thank you for sharing your opinion on contemporary dance and art. We will be at the next contemporary dance show, Wanderer of Berlin.
Next week, Jack Keks.
And they'll try to enjoy it.
Yeah, hopefully. I hope they do enjoy it.
So Bricolage will be held at Rimbundahan, kilometre 27. It's entrance before Lorong Belimbing, Jalan Kuang, at 48050 Kuang. Trust me, just waze it.
You can go to our website, www.rimbundahan.org. There's a map there, which might help. And also
Google Maps.
GPS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got coordinates.
That's
so
totally
from Sunday, March 15th through Sunday, March 22nd, once again, Angela Hijaz will have a walkabout in the garden on the 22nd of March if you want to be a part of that. It's only for 8 days, so make your way there. Weekdays from 10 a.m. to... weekdays by appointment. And over the weekend from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Yeah. So your message as to why we should all come, Bilkis?
It's always wonderful to see a range of different artists, especially from our Southeast Asian neighbours, that we might not otherwise have an opportunity to see. And I think Rimbundahan's such a special place, and all of them have been so impacted by the site itself. To see the site and to see their work can be a really special experience.
Sure.
Oh my gosh, she's already said it so much better than I could.
How are you going to take this, you know, whole residency?
This is Shah's first residency exhibition at Rimbundahan, so you have to come and see it.
Yeah, that's
Shah just going to look after visual art, or will you also look at dance and all of that?
Dance I leave to Bilkis because she knows more than I do, and I love what she does with the programs at Rimbundahan. So I only really take care of the residencies and visual arts and any writers that may come our way.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when's the next residency?
Oh, they're all ongoing. Yeah. So we've got several new artists coming in April, and we're pretty full up until at least August.
June, July is full.
Yeah, and we're going to have a really busy dance month in May, so we won't just have artists, we'll have dancers all over the place, which is always fun. Yeah, so they're all ongoing. We have rolling applications.
So we can look forward to another exhibition towards the end of the year, maybe?
Maybe.
Ooh. Yeah, I have no idea. We haven't looked further than this one.
I feel like if we say yes, we're going to get a call from Angela. Going like,
what did you promise?
You never know, hopefully. Yes.
Okay, so make that date, Bricolage, Sunday, March 15th to Sunday, March the 22nd at Rimbundahan. Thank you both, ladies,
thank you so much
today.
Yeah.
Bilkis Hijaz, one of the faces of Rimbundahan, Shah S. Alia, arts manager of Rimbundahan, on Bricolage on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.